I'm Austin Meek, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Hunter Harlow. Hunter started off as a geologist who got tired of looking at topographical maps all day, so he started Sendero Provisions Co., an outdoor goods brand he's now built into an e-commerce giant. We talk about the company's origins, its focus on conservation, and some of Hunter's favorite nature spots in Central Texas. But first, it's the word on the street. I'm now joined in studio by Annie Wilde. Annie runs the Instagram handle Waco Foodies and keeps all of our mouths salivating with the yummy food that's coming out of our town. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So how did Waco Foodies get started?
I started it 3 or 4 years ago. I love posting pictures of food on the internet, but people tend to get tired of that on your personal Instagram pages. So I was like, let's just make a whole separate one. And it was just my personal food Instagram page, but then I was like, oh, let's make it Waco Foodie Centered. So.
And you will trade photos for food.
Oh, I absolutely will.
So any restaurant owners on here, if you want to be featured, maybe hit Annie up and let her know. Because it's May and we celebrated Cinco de Mayo earlier this month, I featured Rufy's Casino on the Small Business Spotlight. I've still got tacos on my mind. That's every day for me, but particularly in the month of May. Tell me your favorite taco places in town, yeah. Places that might be off the beaten path and listeners may not have heard of, but they definitely should check out.
Right. My personal favorite is Taqueria Zacatecas, also known as Taco Z's, right on LaSalle. It's open late. They do stuff really simply, but really well. Not a lot of frills, but the sauce is good, the tortillas are good, the ingredients are really fresh. That's why it's my favorite.
And that is particular to the state of Zacatecas. So that's one cool thing about the Mexican food in Waco is that we have so much Mexican influence that you have places like Jalisco, Rufy's is mm-hmm. Michoacanse, and then you have Zacatecas. Yeah. And so you're getting a ton of influence from different parts of the state.
Yeah, I really appreciate the variety too. Yeah.
So what else?
I also polled the people, and their favorite is Las Chancas. It seemed to be overwhelmingly, so I went and tried it, and theirs is pretty good too. It's really similar to Taco Z's in that it's just very simple, good salsas, good ingredients, good tortillas.
And Las Chancas, that's on Waco Drive and 26th?
Uh-huh, that's correct. Yeah, okay. That's a really good one. And then I was also thinking about barbecue tacos, which are a little bit different than just like Mexican street tacos. Hellberg Barbecue does that really well. They also have really fresh tortillas. For me, a lot of it comes down to the tortilla, like that can make or break your taco. So Hellberg does that really well. And then Honky Tonk Kid Barbecue also has really good barbecue tacos.
You've been stumping for Honky Tonk since the early days.
They just have such variety and they have a different special every week. So they keep it fresh. They keep it different.
You know? So this is Davey G, the pitmaster at Honky Tonk Kid. And it's right there at 2nd and Mary in the U-Parks development. And Davey is a great example of someone who had a food truck and now has graduated to the brick and mortar. And really, he does global fusion. It's not just your Texas barbecue that you would get at Hellberg or Guess. He's bringing in wild flavors.
And that's why I love it so much. There's nothing else like it in Waco that I've found yet anyway.
When you are thinking about a dining experience, what are the most important components for you?
Yeah. Ultimately, it comes down to the food. Like, the environment is important and the atmosphere that's created, but how are you doing the food well? So that's the main thing that is important to me when it comes to a dining experience, for sure.
And if you have friends who are coming, they're going to be here at 9 a.m., we got to leave 9 p.m., and you're going to be taking them out to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in Waco. Where are the three places that you're going?
Oh, man. I would probably take them to Taco Z's for breakfast tacos first.
Okay.
And then for lunch, I would go to, I'd probably go to Honky Tonk. Just keep with the taco theme, maybe do some barbecue, change it up. And then for dinner, I would go to Dos Mundo Spud Shack. They have loaded baked potatoes. They have, like, I think it's 15 different loaded baked potatoes, everything from chicken fried steak to Frito pie on top of a baked potato.
And Dos Mundos, that's the world of Mexico and America.
Yeah,
and so they bring
correct.
In Mexican flavors, bring in some traditional American cuisine.
Yeah, you will be very full once you leave there.
I love it. You can find Annie Wilde on Instagram, Waco_foodies. Check her out and find some cool things to eat in town. Annie, thank you so much for stopping by Downtown Depot.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Greg Glime is in the studio for our monthly segment, What's Happening Here? Well, he tells us what's going on in the commercial sectors. Greg, since the last time we spoke, Putters has opened up in downtown, which is a family-friendly indoor golf bar concept. Have you known anyone who's gone to Putters, or are you hearing any good things about it?
You know, I have. I've heard a couple people mention that they went to try it out, and I've heard all positive reviews right now. And I think it's kind of setting a trend that I'm seeing now. The last 36 months, we've seen a lot of food and alcohol-related businesses penetrating into the downtown market. And here recently, I'm seeing more entertainment and family-oriented concepts that are poking around the downtown area.
Maybe it's because my daughter just turned one, but I used to never think about this stuff. And now I'm always thinking about where can I have a margarita while my child can play safely. They've done a great job of that at Slow Rise Slice House there on Woodway Drive. But you do see that there are other concepts that are catering towards young families that are coming into the downtown area.
Yeah, I think that's all a product of the growth of downtown and the trend of people our age and even older moving into downtown and more bedrooms, more rooftops being available down there. It's bringing more families down there. I think it's more acceptable for people from Woodway to travel downtown now. And so with that comes these different service or entertainment-oriented businesses. And it's fun. It's exciting. We've got a number of buildings downtown that I've been working with some of those concepts on that are bigger box-style buildings, but still possess a unique historical downtown feel. And so it's kind of supplementing some of these concepts that are normally in your typical retail centers, and now they're getting an opportunity to look at what downtown Waco has to offer.
I was looking at some data about bars in Waco in comparison to bars in other cities of Waco's size. And Waco is hilariously underserved in terms of alcohol. And I think that's probably because of the large Baptist influence that the city has had. And for a long time, there were people who lived in this community who would only drink at home and they wouldn't drink out in public. So people are getting more comfortable with being out with their kids, having a beer as those social mores tend to fray a little bit. Give me some nuggets. I'm going to get you out of here on this. What are some things that you're hearing that could be coming to downtown that are of interest to you?
You know, as far as following along the same concept, I think we've heard from a few hatchet throwing companies, which I've never done or gotten to experience. But the
multiple
reviews,
hatchet companies,
there are they're looking and I'm anxious to try to try one because I haven't seen one in real life. I've obviously seen the videos and seen the concepts that these people are bringing, but that's awesome. I think indoor golf, kind of a Top Golf, virtual Top Golf style venue is looking at coming to downtown. I'm trying to think through any other ones, but that's just kind of the trend lately and seeing those type of uses come.
Well, we've had a great example of that with the Waco Escape Rooms on Washington, where you can go there with your family, you can go there with your fraternity, you can go there with your grandma, and there's a fun puzzle that you can do. So having more activities like that in the downtown area, just giving more people reasons to get on the street and get out in downtown. Greg, before I let you go, we've got to give you some props. You were recently named one of the top 2% of producers in the entire planet from Coldwell Banker Commercial. What does that mean to you?
Well, it was an exciting achievement for me. I think you've had Blaine Cromwell on the show before, and we both made it, so we're getting ready to go to Florida at the end of this week. And it's just a testament to how much Waco's growing right now and our company and our company's success and being involved with the growth of Waco.
Greg Gleim is here for his monthly segment, What's Happening Here. Thank you so much for filling us in on the commercial sector.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm now joined in studio by Austin Hooper for the Residential Recap, where he comes in every month and tells us what's happening in housing. Hooper, give me a little update of what's going on in McLennan County.
Yeah, we're in full swing, busy season, you know, probably peaking right now as school is about to let out. So a lot of activity going on out there. However, we're still dealing with a low inventory issue. That's going to continue to add to the increase in values that we're seeing. Although, as we discussed last month, that increase is slowing down.
And explain to me how the end of school or the beginning of school changes home buying and selling.
Sure. So for a lot of people, it doesn't matter one way or the other as far as the school calendar dictating their schedule. But for those families that are looking to sell or buy a new home, they're wanting to do that around the school calendar so that they're not taking their kids out of school in the middle of a school year if they're changing school districts or moving in from out of state. So also, it kind of coincides with the weather getting nicer, although it's been super rainy here. As the sun is out more, and temperatures are warming up. People are more likely to want to get out and about looking at homes.
So let's dig into the data for a second. What are you seeing in terms of trends?
Yeah, kind of tracking with what 2019 has looked like up to this point. So going back 90 days, we're seeing pretty much the same thing as we have up to this point, where we're still seeing values going up. And right now, the average price per square foot sold in McLennan County is about $107 a square foot, which is a 3.9% increase from the same period last year in 2018.
Okay.
The difference from 17 to 18 was 9.5%. So a huge jump from 17 to 18. And from 18 to where we are today, still going up, but at half the rate.
So this is what you were referencing last month on the residential recap when describing the housing market as slowing but growing. This is perhaps more sustainable.
Absolutely. You know, Waco is still a very affordable place to live in comparison to other cities around the state and mid-sized cities. But the sharp increase in values that we had experienced over the last couple of years, even though we're still low in terms of the dollar amount you're going to spend on a home compared to the rest of the state, that increase in value is really jarring. So to be back in a place of a more steady, normal pace of growth is going to be more sustainable. And for those that may have been scared to jump into the market during such a crazy time, I think it's a little more comfortable place to jump in if you're ready to buy that first home.
Austin Hooper with AG Real Estate stopping by again this month for the residential recap. Thanks for filling us in.
All right, thank you.
I'm now joined in studio by Hunter Harlow. Hunter is El Jefe for Sendero Provisions Co. and is kind enough to join me in the studio today. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thanks for having me, Migo.
What is your Waco history?
Man, so I did my undergrad here in geology from 2006 to 2010 and went off and did grad school and came back for grad school here, the geology PhD program. And then Sendero started up and we started doing it full time here. So I've been off and on a Wacoan for almost over a decade now.
And when you moved here in, yes, 2006 to come to school, what was the initial draw to Baylor?
I think the initial draw to Baylor was, one, I knew I wanted to do science, and we just built the enormous science building. So it was really cool. But all my friends were going to UT and A&M and Tech, and I kind of wanted to do something different. And so Baylor was kind of this cool, unique school in Waco with funky stuff going on. That was really the draw.
You were in the hard sciences as a geologist and then somehow got into clothing and launched this e-commerce company. What was that transition for you?
Man, so we started off and it initially was kind of like dude hat club, like making some cool hats, seeing what was going on, not really putting a lot into marketing and media and scaling. We weren't thinking about scaling at all. And then 2015 rolled around, 2016 rolled around, had some success. 2017, we ended up having a lot of success. And it was almost too much for us to handle. We were packing up and putting 200 to 300 boxes on my front porch every day, and the USPS man had to come and pick them up and take 5 trips just to get them back to the China Spring post office. And he hated me. And at that point in time, it was too big for us to manage on our own. And we either had to jump in full time and make it a full time commitment and just kind of trust the process and that we were onto something, or potentially let it go, sell it off, or just scale it back. And we ultimately jumped in and we've been wheeling and dealing full time in this since pretty much 2016.
And when you say we, that was you and your partner at the time, Aaron Bryant, who's
correct,
no longer with the company.
Yeah, we had a company restructure last year, late last year, and now it's just me and some of the investors that we brought on, private equity going forward. And we've kind of restructured the company a little bit and kind of moving forward with the kind of cohesive branding and design aesthetic and visuals. But it's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun now kind of seeing where we're headed and some of the cool stuff that's lining up and on the table in 2019 and 2020.
American Bank sponsors a segment called the Small Business Spotlight, and I was able to feature Sendero on the Small Business Spotlight last year. So I got to learn a little bit about your story. What one of my takeaways was that basically you were just sick of sitting in an office looking at topographical maps and you wanted a reason to get outside and into nature. And that was really the impetus behind starting Sendero.
Yeah. I'm very much not a corporate guy. Four walls kind of scare me. And I actually don't really mind business casual. I kind of liked wearing business casual, but if I had to do that every day and choke my neck with a tie every day, I don't think I could handle that. But being in a river, 2 feet in the water, it's sort of my where I feel most at home and relaxed. And this kind of gave me the ability to do that more frequently than not. And especially being a geologist, it comes with this connection to nature and the world around you and conservation. And so that kind of led hand in hand with Sendero that we kind of had the ability to have more of a positive impact from a conservation standpoint, an educational standpoint, than you really could at all in a corporate geology job. So it's opened up a lot of the same avenues that we would have had otherwise. But we get to set our own hours and do cool outdoor stuff all the time.
You can find him on Instagram at hunter.harlow. Got about 15,000 followers who keep you in their feed because they like seeing you fly fishing, love seeing you out on your stand-up paddleboard, and, of course, wearing Sendero gear. When you started the company, e-commerce as a business platform was very different than how it is today. How has the way that you market Sendero changed in the last 5 years?
Yeah, so our growth as a company has kind of paralleled this growth in paid digital marketing, social media, and really, along with the developments in paid digital advertising, we can kind of track one-to-one our growth as a company. Our ability to find and market cold audiences, new customers that might be interested in Sendero but don't follow Sendero, but everything that they do from their interest to their interaction on social media say that they would like Sendero, we can find those people easier today with a few clicks of a button than we could back in 2015, 2016. And so that's really set up a kind of template for our social media growth, e-commerce growth, and it's more or less static at this point in time. We know the playbook and know how to go about doing that. And with new products come new markets and new customers that we haven't reached before, which we're branching out into different products and different areas with different national parks and stuff. But that's really probably the main driver behind our e-commerce is the ability of mainly Facebook and Instagram and Google to help us reach pockets of consumers that we couldn't find otherwise.
You're hearing from Hunter Harlow. He is El Jefe for Sendero Provisions Co. I heard about Sendero just by being online. I guess I was being served your ads and saw the Big Bend National Park hat and thought that one was really groovy, then saw a couple others that I liked. I had no idea that you guys were a Waco company.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed, it looks so sexy online. The packaging is great. And I just assumed that you were a much more well-established company in a bigger market, and then I learned you were in Waco, and I was thrilled by it. It seems that even within the last 18 months, Sendero has made an intentional push to brand itself alongside Waco and to become known as a Waco company rather than a nameless, faceless organization.
Yeah, that's funny. When we first started, probably in 2017, if people wondered where we're from, and they'd ask, like, oh, you guys are from Colorado, you guys are from California, or if it was Texas, you guys are from Austin. We're like, no, we're from Waco. Like, well, Waco, where's that? And now it's Waco. That's where my favorite TV show is from. So people know Waco now. And we intentionally chose Waco, especially us both being Baylor grads, where we could plug into the university and the community aspect of Waco over Austin. Austin might be more of our target demographic. We'd have foot traffic immediately from people being in the outdoor industry plugged in. Austin's kind of got a really Colorado vibe to it. But we'd be playing a numbers game down there. There's 5 or 6 other companies like us, certainly, 15, 20, 30 other companies that cater to the same demographic outside of soft apparel. So we chose Waco. One, because we could be here and establish ourselves in, a financially secure environment relative to Austin where everything skyrockets. But also being passionate about Baylor, being passionate about teaching Wacoans how to get outdoors. Waco has some of the most amazing outdoor terrain that you can find, especially this close to urban centers. Four or five awesome tributaries that I hardly see anyone on. Cameron Park is one of the best national treasures as far as city-bound parks go. And we have a huge access to these places, and that's something that we thought we could come in and connect with people on.
One reason why people love you in particular is that you don't just talk the talk, but you walk the walk. You're talking about conservation, but then you are leading trips on the river, and you are posting about conservation practices. What are some of your places that are in the Waco area that you like to frequent? I know you mentioned Cameron Park and mm-hmm. a few of these other tributaries. But for people who want to go out and experience some of the same things that you do when you're on your paddleboard mm-hmm. fishing or taking your son out on the boat, where do you like to go?
If I could be anywhere in Texas besides Big Bend, Big Bend's awesome, I would be on the Middle Bosque River in Waco, Texas. It's just as cool as any Central Texas tributary, and there's no one on it. It's crystal clear, limestone bluffs, fish everywhere, and it's scenic and quiet. And it's one of the coolest places. And if I'm doing anything on a river in Waco, I'm going to be on the Middle Bosque. Unless it's blown out or flooded, then I'll go somewhere else. But it's probably the most dynamic riverscape that I've experienced in Texas, just from high water activities during flood stage when you go out and float down, hit some 2+ rapids. Then also some of the most amazing fish migrations that you can find in freshwater. Big white bass runs, gar spawns, all kinds of really cool stuff. And any of these rivers that people go to in Austin to fly in and do epic topwater bass fly fishing on, you can do on the Middle Bosque. And you don't have to pay $500 for a half-day guide and fight everyone out there in their kayaks. It's just you. So it's pretty awesome.
Maybe that's a business opportunity for a listener who loves being on the river and wants to make $500 a pop.
That's right. Go to Austin. Don't go to the Middle Bosque.
When you guys started Sendero, it was specifically a hat company, Sendero Hat Co. And at some point, you decided to widen the scope and mm-hmm. rebrand as Sendero Provisions. What was the thought process?
Yeah, that was shortly after I came on. We started as Sendero Hat Co. And that name in itself is limiting in the sense that you're a hat company. And we had the vision of being a more holistic outdoor brand, folding gear. We folded in jackets this year. And so a rebrand was imminent, and we chose Sendero Provisions Co. with the anticipation of being a full apparel company, a 30-40-piece garment collection, seasonality, a seasonal company, and then also kind of branching into some cool gear aspects, which we're working on some of those now. So it's fun.
Tell me a little bit about the future of Sendero.
Yeah, so we, like I said, we restructured the company into last year. We've kind of put a lot of emphasis into restructuring our approach to design and specifically the products we roll out. And we've got a couple guys that are working with us right now in a part-time capacity, but we're hoping that, you know, they come in full-time soon. And what that's going to do is specifically with our product design, product development, our brand visuals, our photography, our videography, trying to make this cohesive brand product to where you see something on Instagram, social media, video, or photo that we share, and that translates to a product that we have rolled out that year or that season. And so it's this holistic approach to marketing and visuals, which we've started this season, and it's been a lot of fun. But where we're going, we've got all kinds of stuff developed. We're looking at pants and button-ups. We're thinking about rolling out another Kickstarter into this year on fly fishing kind of technical button-ups, quick dry stuff. We're launching felt wide brim hats later this year. So like a high-end rabbit fur kind of hat where you can customize the artwork, the band, the color. That's something we're really excited about. And we've had a lot of people, we had this developed for a long time. We've had a lot of people, every time they stop, like, hey, can I buy this from you? Like, well, no, it's the only one that exists. And we're like, we've had so many people ask to buy this. Let's just roll them out.
You gotta listen to the customers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's kind of where we're going. And we've put a lot of emphasis on our wholesale growth. E-commerce is more or less static, but we're really putting effort into pre-booking and looking for more retailers. And we've already, it's May, and we've already done as much wholesale volume this year as we have pretty much in our entire existence. So that's the next step of Sendero is retailers.
Brazos River Dry Goods in downtown carries you guys. The Bear Mountain carries you guys. Is there anywhere else in town that's carrying Sendero?
Yeah, Bolt Boutique does. And then those three guys are pretty much our core in town. And then our warehouse is open out there. We've got a showroom, and we probably get 5 to 10 people stroll in a week. It's unmarked, and they always open the door. Is this Sendero? Is this the right place? Like, yeah, y'all come on out. We're here. Got coffee in the pot and beer in the fridge. You want some? This is fun. But yeah, then we're all over in Texas. Tyler, St. Bernard Sports.
Well, I was driving through Brenham, Texas, of course, stopping at the Bluebell Factory and paying homage. And found a super cute place called the Ballad of the Bird Dog that was in love with Sendero. They had only good things to say about working with y'all. So the wholesale product is working.
Yeah, and that's something that kind of piggybacks on some of the growth that we've seen in Waco is this reurbanization of businesses and these pop-up brick-and-mortar kind of hole-in-the-wall kind of outdoor retail places are becoming really popular. And they'll have some kind of really cool thing about them, like Ballad of the Bird Dog does haircuts. And they all have, they cater to a cool market, they have loyal followers, and we see more and more that our best accounts year in and year out are these really cool local places that have established a brand identity in their own right. And that's been a lot of fun about being involved in the retail space is some of these cool people and cool stories you get to hear just the same.
I'll get you out of here on this, Hunter. Can you share with our listeners some of your favorite resources for improving as an outdoorsman, as a father, as a retailer, as a marketer? You know, are there podcasts you listen to? Are there any books that have been particularly inspiring?
Yeah, so I think I'll try to piece those down. So as kind of an outdoorsman and as a father, a lot of my inspiration from that has come from really cool people that I've found on Instagram that seem to straddle that line really well of getting their kids in the outdoors, introducing them to fly fishing or rivers, even if that's, you know, not catching fish, just being out there hanging out. I took Hayes out the other day. We didn't catch a fish, but we floated through some pretty serious water, and he was jazzed about it. Like, he wanted to keep going like it was a roller coaster ride. But social influencers out there that are putting out that kind of content really kind of inspired me. Like, I need to get Hayes doing more of this stuff. And so that's been really cool, is seeing how receptive the outdoor industry is to children and how they preach this, get involved in the outdoors and get involved early. As far as marketing and business stuff, as far as that goes, I'm a geologist. I learned all this stuff through a fire hose. And you can find any of this stuff on YouTube and any of this stuff in a certain amount of detail that's awesome. But Facebook and Google and Shopify, they have their own sets of podcasts and free webinars that you can sign up for, educational resources that teach these things. Yeah, so Facebook and Google have free resources that you can sign up for, webinars and training courses, certifications. They all have their own specific names, but you get on there and they literally teach you how to run their programs for free. One, because they want you to use them, but it eliminates the need for hiring an agency that's going to, you know, cost you an arm and a leg of your spend or your profits in doing those things. So that's really cool. And then as far as just like being an entrepreneur and having business motives, I've been really into how I built this with Guy Raz lately, and almost like it kind of parallels a lot of stuff I've done with Sendero. Is, you know, no matter what comes up, just keep going, and everyone else is going through the same stuff. So yeah, that's a long-winded answer.
Hunter Harlow is El Jefe for Sendero Provisions Co. Thank you so much for stopping by Downtown Depot.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Annie Wilde of Waco Foodies, Greg Lime, Austin Hooper, Hunter Harlow, and you for tuning in to another episode here on KWBU. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.